Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. We are back indoors here at Epic 2 weeks from today. So I want you to go ahead and make plans to be here, 9 o'clock gathering and a second gathering at 11 o'clock. We've got Epic Kids at 9 and 11, Epic Students at 11, and it is going to be an amazing day for starters just to be back in God's presence and in the presence of one another in the space that God has given to us here. But also, we're going to celebrate all of the men, students, and up. They're going to get a gift. Donuts are going to be in the house. We're going to make sure that the coffee is served to you in a safe way, but it's going to be available. And just to have energy and human life back in this space, gathering together, it's a day that you do not want to miss. Now, here's what I know. A small minority in our church, for health reasons, you just can't come yet. But for the majority of us, it's time to begin reestablishing habits that are for our spiritual, emotional, and relational health. So I want to encourage you to come out on the 20th. So let's rebuild the gathering habit. And then secondly, let's rebuild our serving habit. You probably know this, but we have a few staff team members here, but the majority of the ministry that gets done in our church is through our volunteer teams. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not signed up for a team, to sign up for one of these three teams: our Epic Kids team, our Epic Host team, or the Epic Production team. We are ready to rebuild. You guys, the last three Sundays in person outdoors, we've had 52 first-time guests, which means God is beginning to rebuild. And I know a lot of you have told me, Ben, I wish I could have been there for the launch back in 2011. Well, I can't do anything about that, but here's what I can offer you. You can be part of the relaunch 10 years later in 2021, Epic version 2.0. And I want to encourage you to be here. It's time to begin rebuilding, and it's going to take all of us. And we believe, we have the sense as a staff team that God is on the move, and we don't want you to miss out. So make plans to be here and sign up for one of those teams. Have you ever been around two people who made you feel completely left out? I mean, have you ever been there where it was almost as if you didn't even exist? Like your presence wasn't even necessary to the people that you thought you were hanging out with. That is like the most awkward thing ever. Well, in a moment like that, where there's two people having this relationship or a conversation or a date maybe, and somehow you're tagging along, what you are in that moment is a third wheel. Now, here's what a third wheel is, and I'll tell you why you need to know what a third wheel is. A third wheel is someone who is unnecessary to the group and is tagging along, someone who is extra, someone who is not wanted or needed. So have you ever been a third wheel? Maybe at the office and you're like, everybody's in on this but me. Maybe you've been out with friends and you're like, they're talking about a thing they have in common, I have nothing in common, so I'm out. Now that you know what a third wheel is, it's logical that you're asking the question, why are we calling a teaching series at my church the third wheel? Well, here's why. We are embarking, starting today, I'm so excited, we're embarking on an 11-week journey on the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn how to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the reason we're calling this series the third wheel is just this. Many of you are familiar with God the Father, and many of you and many of us are familiar with God the Son, Jesus, but we're not as familiar with the Holy Spirit. I mean, sure, we know that He kind of goes with the other two to some degree. In fact, you can probably finish this statement, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Like, you know that. You know, like, He kind of belongs, but let's be honest, a lot of us are like, He's not really the big deal. I mean, it's the Father and the Son that are the big deal. So I think about God as Father. I think about Jesus, God's Son, but I just don't think much about the Holy Spirit. And you might even think, like, why do we even talk about the Holy Spirit at all? Because there's no real understanding about what he's there for. Or you might have come from a background where you're like, no, Ben, Holy Spirit was like everything. It freaked me out. And I don't want to be a part of a church like that again. And so what we're going to do beginning today is say that, listen, for you and I to live the life that God's called us to live, for us to be the church community that God has called us to be, the Holy Spirit is, and here's the title for today, absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Now, if you're like me, some of you grew up in a church culture where the Holy Spirit was almost nothing at all. Like there just wasn't a focus. Now, I've got to confess, in case you were in the church or leading the church that I grew up in, it could have been that I was just goofing off in the pews or I was, you know, not listening. And so maybe it was talked about a lot, but my best recall is that we didn't talk a whole lot about who the Holy Spirit is or what the Holy Spirit does. Others of you grew up in a church culture where the Holy Spirit was more focused than it needed to be. Like it was just kind of everything and you know, people got all weirded out about talking about the Holy Spirit, or there was a group of people maybe manufacturing or trying to manipulate the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to say as we begin this journey together, wherever we are, it is common for the Holy Spirit to be either underemphasized or overemphasized in our life and in our churches. So as you think about your own church background, was the Holy Spirit underemphasized? Like you hardly knew anything and what you did know scared you to death? Or was the Holy Spirit like overemphasized, like behind every corner? It was the Spirit, it was the Spirit, it was the Spirit. And you're just not sure that's the case. And what we want to do beginning today is try to help all of us understand who the Holy Spirit is. And you guys know this, I hope, but I love Will Maraza, our teaching pastor. He is right over here right now. And I love this guy. We have been working together for about a decade. And he's also one of my closest friends. But he and I are nothing alike. I mean, outside of looking like each other, he and I are nothing alike at all. He's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. Will stays calm always. I'm a little fiery and intense at times. True? True, he said. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is where we couldn't be more different in terms of our background. And what I love about our relationship, more like a brother to me than just a friend, is that we learn so much from each other, both in our personal lives as well as pastors here on the Epic staff team, just learning what it is to understand who God is and what he's doing and how do we convey that to such a diverse congregation like the one that we have here at Epic Church. And for me, again, I grew up in this church culture where there just wasn't much focus at all. And Will would say that there was almost too much focus on the Holy Spirit and the culture that he grew up in. And so we've been learning a lot from each other. We've been learning a lot from other sources. And we're so thrilled to teach over these 11 weeks. And let me just tell you who's teaching for this 11-week series. I am doing 6 of the messages in the series. Will is doing 2 of them. My wife, Shauna, is going to do a message in the series. Our church planting partner, Ray Hudson, over at City Center Church in Berkeley is going to do one of them. And we'll have our close friend, Ruthie Kim, back to teach one of the messages in this series as well. So stay tuned. I know we're all going to hopefully get some vacation time in during these 11 weeks, but make sure that either while you're away or when you get back that you're catching up, because we believe this is going to be a vital series for what's present and what's to come in our church. So I guess we need to start with, what's the Holy Spirit? Well, that's where we oftentimes get it wrong. The Holy Spirit isn't a what, but a who. So let's begin asking this question today. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is part of what we call the Trinity. And again, you won't find the word. Today's a big overview, by the way. A lot of scripture, a lot of just fundamental ideas we need to understand so that we can go into these next 10 weeks. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And the Trinity, that word at least, it's nowhere to be found in scripture, but the doctrine of the Trinity is all over the scriptures from beginning to end. But here's what Tim Keller says the Trinity is whenever he is writing in The Reason for God. Keller writes to this, the doctrine of the Trinity is that God is one being who exists eternally in 3 persons. There you go, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity means that God is, in essence, relational. Now, the Trinity, this is still a difficult concept for me to grasp, and I have been to seminary. I've read a lot about this because you're talking about someone who has the same essence but exists in 3 distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what I love is that he says they've existed eternally. So they don't just show up eventually. They're all there from the beginning of creation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there's this beautiful harmony between the three of them. And there's this beautiful community and relational life that they share together. Now, the Bible was written in two primary languages. In the Old Testament, we have that being written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. And so I want you to understand that, and I want to show you two words. They don't exactly mean the same thing, but they get after the same idea, and you'll know what they have to do with our series once I give you the definition. But here are the two words. The Hebrew words, the Old Testament word, is ruach, and the New Testament word is pneuma. Ruach and pneuma, and here's basically what they mean: spirit, wind, or breath. Spirit, wind, or breath. Now, there's way more in the scriptures in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit than there is in the Old Testament. And so you might imagine we're going to spend the bulk of our time over the life of this teaching series in the New Testament, but I want to make sure starting today that we don't miss where the Spirit showed up initially. And to understand, believe it or not, where the Holy Spirit first shows up, we've got to go all the way back to the beginning. And I mean the very beginning. So here are the first two verses in the entire Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here's what we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And listen to this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The image there is of a bird that is hovering or brooding over the water. And by the way, that image of the Holy Spirit as a bird, or if you know the New Testament, as a dove, that's going to show up. And you're going to see water as a common metaphor for the Holy Spirit throughout this teaching series, because we see that throughout the scriptures. More on that before I'm done with this message today. And so there you go. Now, to understand how the Holy Spirit shows up and what the Holy Spirit is doing when he does show up, you need to understand the Holy Spirit's activity and movements within three different time periods. And here are the three. And this is really important. I want to encourage you to take notes. You can come back and watch this. All the notes are in the Epic Church app. But the first period of time is, what is the Spirit doing before Jesus comes to earth? Okay, what is the Spirit doing before Jesus comes to earth? If you think from a biblical perspective, we want to know, what does the Old Testament show the Spirit to be doing? The second thing we want to look at, and here's the point of the message next week, is what is the Holy Spirit doing during the time Jesus was on earth? If you've got a Bible handy, know that that's what you're going to find in the four Gospels, right? So you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we want to look at the third time period, which is what happens with the Holy Spirit after Jesus leaves the earth and ascends back into heaven. And what's really cool is that starts with the book of Acts, and it goes until when? It goes until today, and it goes until tomorrow. And we're in that era now. I'll mention this a few times because I think we need to be so excited and not miss out on the privilege it is to live in the time period of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what you need to know. We'll start with the Old Testament today. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon some people at some times. Really important to know this as we just begin to go, okay, if there was a biography on the Holy Spirit, you need to know when, before Jesus shows up in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon some people at some times. Now, I want to begin to show you a few of these instances from the Old Testament, beginning in Exodus chapter 35, verses 30 through 35. Again, the Holy Spirit during this period of time is coming upon some people at some times. And I think this first text is going to be really exciting, especially to a group of you. Here's what goes down. Let me set the context. God has instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. And what's really cool about this is that God has said to Moses, build a tabernacle because I'm going to dwell there again. This is a different time period. What we're going to learn over the life of this series is, guess where the tabernacle is now? That's right. It is in you if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, and it is in me. You see, they're getting ready to build the tabernacle for God to dwell in there, but the New Testament's going to tell us that now we are the tabernacle. We are the temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but in this day and time, God was dwelling in the tabernacle. And listen to this from verses 30 through 35 of Exodus 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Underline that. He's filled him with the Spirit of God. Here's what else came with it. With wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability, really important, to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. Don't you love that? One of the very first times the Spirit of God shows up and begins to fill human beings, he does so so that they might be artists, so that they might be creatives. And if you're a designer, if you're an artist, if you do anything creative, I hope that you are inspired right now in this moment to know that, wait a minute, it's not just the preachers and the worship leaders and the kids directors who are doing the great ministry filled with the Spirit of God. What I am doing in my job, what I am doing in this church or wherever I might be doing it, I can be doing it in a way that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not just being self-deprecating when I say this, but when I take any kind of assessment or test, I score a zero on the creative section. That is the truth. Yes, I am not downplaying my gifts. God has given me gifts. I'm leaning into one of them or both of them right now in the leadership and teaching, however that comes out to you at this moment. So I am at peace with that. But I've got to be honest with you. I'm filled with a staff team of a lot of creative people. One of them is behind the camera right now. And guys, I'm not going to name names here, but I walked into our Connection Center just a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, this is cool. They're having a creative conversation. That was fine. I wasn't adding to the conversation, but I was just kind of leaning in. And one of my friends, again, who will remain nameless, basically told me that I didn't belong in that creative room. So I left. But if you are creative, A, welcome people that aren't. I felt like the third wheel, let's be honest. I felt just like the third wheel, Seth Condry, but I'm not telling you who made me feel that way. But I love this. The Spirit of God is filling it. And here's what is being foreshadowed, both in what's going to come in the New Testament and what's going to come later on in our series. What we're going to come to understand, we'll spend a couple weeks on this, is that the Spirit has given gifts, and he gives gifts in the era that we're living in. This is awesome. He gives gifts not just to some people, but he gives gifts to everyone who belongs to Jesus, and the gifts are used to build up the church of God. Like, I love that. But right here, the Spirit of God is filling them with all kinds of gifts and skills. And as you go along in the Old Testament, you continue to see these moments where the Holy Spirit comes on some people at certain times. You will look at the book of Judges, and you will see the Holy Spirit coming on Samson and coming on Gideon to help them defeat their opponents. When Saul is installed as the first king of Israel in 1 Samuel 10:10, it says that the Spirit of God came powerfully on Saul. And then after Saul, David becomes king. And here's what we read about the Spirit in 1 Samuel 16:13 related to David. So Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And listen, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. From that day on, the day that David is anointed as king, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him. But the very next verse tells us this. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So it seems, at least at this day and time, that the Holy Spirit could come on you, and don't forget this, the Holy Spirit could leave you or depart from you. Now, one of the things we're going to learn is like, okay, Ben, that's Old Testament. What is true for us? Here's what's true. We're going to talk a lot about this, but let me just foreshadow it. What's true is that you and I can live our lives in such a way that we're open to and welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives. And we can live in such a way that we cause the Spirit, because we've grieved the Spirit, to depart from our lives. So not a one-for-one correlation, but there's a lot of truth in this. Now, a lot of you probably are familiar with the story of David committing adultery with Bathsheba. one of those stories, and we see this play out in our world today, and maybe it's even played out in your life, but what Psalm 51 is, it is David's confession. It is David's repentance. It is David asking God to come and cleanse him and to give him a new heart. And anytime you and I blow it, and by the way, we all blow it from time to time, some of us more than others, let Psalm 51 be a guide for you where you go, God, would you cleanse me? Would you give me a new heart? But notice what David says in verse 11 of Psalm 51. Here's what he says. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. What David knew is what Will and I and Lindsay and Seth and everyone on our team want you to know. There is nothing better than having the Spirit of God present and working in your life. And there is nothing worse than having the Spirit of God absent and no longer working in your life. We want the Spirit of God. We want to have the heartbeat of David. Was David perfect? No. Was he still known later as a man after God's own heart? Yes. And I think part of this comes back to God. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your presence. So the question we need to ask is this one. Is the Holy Spirit still only for some people at certain times? Is the Holy Spirit still only for some people at certain times? Well, the prophet Joel, who lived, and there's a lot of discrepancy on this, but he lived somewhere between the 9th and 4th century BC. And what he was doing was calling the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem to lament and return to God during a national calamity. Anybody know a time period? Anybody know a nation? Anybody know that there needs to be a little lamenting and a little returning, or a whole lot of lamenting and a lot of returning to God? That's our only hope. It will not be found in a movement on social media. It will not be found in a president or a mayor or a governor. It will not be found in a lot of places that, let's be honest, so many in our nation are looking today. It will be found when we go, God, we want to come back to you. We want you to be the king. We want to be filled with your Spirit. But here's the prophecy from Joel. In Joel 2, 28 through 32, God says this, and afterward, here's the prophecy. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming. Some of you are like, I've seen that blood moon. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone, I'm going to say it again, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So, in the pre-Jesus period of the Holy Spirit, so far we've said that the Holy Spirit comes on some people sometimes. To use a wider illustration, let's think of some of the Spirit be some drops of the Spirit being poured on certain people for particular moments at certain times. What Joel is prophesying is that there's going to come a day where it won't be a little bit of the Spirit on a small number of people, but it will be a pouring out of the Spirit on how many people? On all the people whom the Lord saves, who trust Jesus with their life. It will be on the young and on the old. It will be on the men and on the women. It will be on those who are slaves and those who are free. It will be on the rich and the poor. It will happen in Africa, and it will happen in North America. It will happen in rural communities and in an urban place, just like San Francisco, California. There's a day coming where I'm going to pour my Spirit out. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about what the Spirit does on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, 50 days removed from Jesus ascending back into heaven. Jesus had told his disciples, wait for this day. And what happens on Pentecost is the Spirit of God falls. And what looks like tongues of fire come to rest on individuals. And all of a sudden, those disciples begin to speak languages that they didn't know before, but that allowed other people to understand what God was doing in that moment. But the Spirit didn't fall on everyone. Same is true in our world today. So when Joel says all people, he means all people whose hearts belong to God. So some in the crowd who are watching what's happening and they're listening to all this new language that they've never heard these people speak before, they say to Peter, hey, I think they're drunk. Peter's like, it's 9 a.m., they're not drunk. Now, if you've been drunk at 9 a.m., I wouldn't put that in the chat. There's hope for all of us. But Peter says, they are not drunk. This is what Joel said would happen. What do you mean? What we just read from Joel, the reason I wanted to read that to you, again, he's writing from the, living from the 9th to 4th century BC, so it's been hundreds of years, and the crowd's like, oh, I think they had too much to drink for breakfast, and Peter's like, they didn't have too much to drink. This is the phenomenon Joel had told us about. This is what we have been looking forward to. This is what Jesus told us to wait and not go do our ministry and not go do our mission until this moment happens, and it's happening right now. It's happening right now. I want to show you a couple things from Jesus in the New Testament before we wrap up this introductory message. In John 7, verses 37 through 39, listen. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone, there it is again, let anyone, circle anyone, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, there's the condition, okay? Who can come? Anyone. Who gets what I'm about to describe? Whoever believes in me. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Listen, by this he meant the what? The Spirit. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Later when? In those days. When are those days? Right now. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And what it means, of course, is that, remember the three time periods? Some people sometimes on the life of Jesus, and the Spirit had not been given yet, but the Spirit would be given in full starting on the day of Pentecost. Rivers of living water. Guys, I, for most of my life, missed out on understanding and experiencing the Holy Spirit. For most of my adult life, I've missed out on understanding and experiencing the Holy Spirit, which means, I'm sad to say this, but most of my ministry, not that I haven't known anything, but I've missed out on the full knowledge and the full experience of the Holy Spirit. And I'm done missing out. And as you begin to awaken to the reality, you're going to feel like you got a new best friend. As you begin to awake to this reality, you're going to feel like you got a satisfaction you didn't know existed. But as I look at the words of Jesus, I think this is the question that I have to ask you to know what the next 11 weeks and even the next several years of your life are going to be like when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Here's the question I have to ask you. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for more than you can produce yourself? Are you thirsty for something more than just getting an accolade at the office? Are you thirsty for more than what your money can give you? Are you thirsty for more than just looking for Mrs. Right or Mr. Right? Are you thirsty for more than you're able to make happen on your own? Are you thirsty for something that only God could do in you? Are you thirsty? Because if you're not thirsty, you will not welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Now I want to ask us, that's the individual question. Now I want to ask our entire Epic Church community this question. Are we thirsty? Are we thirsty for a move of God? Are we thirsty to believe and ask the Spirit to come and do in this city? Listen, we know what's true about this city that is so evil and so wicked, but can we have hope and ask the Spirit to come and open eyes that we will never be able to open? Are we thirsty, or are we going to be satisfied with what we can do on our own? Listen, I know how to give inspirational talks. Seth knows how to give great music. Lindsay can get people together. Will can make sure that people are doing okay out there. Like, we can do a lot of good things. Brenda can bring her best and make sure this video looks really crisp. But what we are desperate for is the Spirit of God to come and do through us, yes, but also in spite of us and around us, what we cannot do on our own. And I think the first prerequisite as we begin this 11-week journey is just this. Are we thirsty? Do we have a desire for something more? In John 14, verses 16 through 18, this will be my last scripture for today. Jesus said this. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world, listen, this is very good to know. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be where? In you. And here's the promise from Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love this. When you see that word advocate, it is the Greek word paraclete. And you need to know this word. Like, Ben, why do I need to know Greek? I don't want you to do a whole bunch of Greek, just a few words, right? Pneuma, spirit, you got that already. This word paraclete, here's what it means. Called alongside of to aid. This is huge. Called alongside of to aid or to help. So it gets translated in the NIV as advocate. It could also be translated as counselor or comforter or helper. Jesus is saying you're going to have one who's going to be coming alongside of you, who's here to aid you, to advocate for you, to counsel you, to comfort you, to help you do what I am calling you to do, because you as a person and you as a church will never be able to do what I'm calling you to do unless you have one who helps. That's what he's saying. And he says he's the Spirit of truth. I love this. Guys, he's the Spirit of truth, which means he can help us navigate all of the complexities of the world, the stuff that is so popular out there. Some of you are buying it, and I beg you to stop buying it. Your truth is not your truth because it's not true. Let them just live their truth. It's not true. But the Spirit of God in us can lead us into truth. Jesus also promised that he would be with us forever. He would be with us forever. You do not have to live one more second of your life without the power, presence, and direction of the Holy Spirit. You can. I did it a long time, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And then Jesus makes this crazy promise. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. Why do I say that's a crazy promise? Because he was about to leave them. How can a guy go, hey, I'm out of here, but I will not leave you as orphans? The only way a guy could say that is if he was going to send someone who was going to be as effective as his presence was with them, or perhaps if that someone could get in each of them and not be restricted to one human body, maybe he would be able to do even more. That's the promise. I will no longer leave you as orphans. This was not in my notes, but here we go. Some of us have adopted orphans into our family. And even if you haven't, a lot of you know our own story as a family, but you can imagine what I'm about to tell you. Because of how much time an orphan has spent being an orphan, even when they're officially part of the family, they still have orphan tendencies. Does that make sense? Right? They're still going to feel afraid at times. They're still going to feel alone. They're still going to feel like it's just up to them. If it is to be, it's up to me. I mean, it's that whole thing, right? Because they've had to protect themselves, and they did not have a father figure or a mother figure or a grandparent to be able to provide and take care of them and to help them. But one of the things I know as an adopting father is that I've had to help an orphan realize that they're part of the family. And when you're part of the family, even if it takes time, you can leave orphan tendencies behind. And where God is leading me right now, I believe by the power and word of the Holy Spirit, what he's trying to have me tell you in this moment is you're not an orphan anymore. You're not on your own. It's not just up to your IQ. It's not just up to how brilliant you are or how wealthy you are or what neighborhood you live in and if it can get you where it needs to get you. He is telling us today, can you come and ask the Holy Spirit to fall on you and fill you and to be that paraclete, the one who helps you? He's right by your side. He's wanting to be there. It's the way Jesus didn't want to leave us as orphans. So today, I want to recall that promise. Jesus said you could have rivers of living water from within you. Who is that for? It is for whoever believes. And so today is the day for you to believe. I want to encourage you to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Come and fill me just like you promised. But for others of us, maybe we are Christians, but we've never actually asked the Holy Spirit to come in and fill us, to fall on us. And just with open hands right now, why not just do that? Let me just give you a few prayer prompts. Let's start with this one that we want to have just as common language on the daily and weekly here at Epic. Come, Holy Spirit. Mean what you say, but it is that simple. Come, Holy Spirit. Here's another one. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Now, when you say that, let me tell you what we're talking about. Holy Spirit, I'm not just saying you are welcome in this 1 hour of my church gathering. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this hour, and you're welcome in the other 167 hours of my week, in the language that I use, what I do with my money, who I invest my time in, how I make decisions at the office. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. And then maybe this, Holy Spirit, I want to experience your presence and your power and your truth and experience you as my advocate and my counselor and my comforter and my helper. I believe right now, not because we have magic words, but because we have the Spirit of God waiting to take up residence in all who would receive him. I believe he's coming in. I believe that he's filling you now. And this is nothing we need to be afraid of, like many of us were for so long. This is the Spirit of God. Excited about what we've covered today, but also really looking forward to the next 10 weeks. I want to encourage you to lean in. And as we begin to gather in person, it's not lost on me that the message I wrote before I knew we were coming back in the building June 20th is called Promise of Presence and Power. So that's ahead in 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to empower the life of Jesus. It's going to be fire. You don't want to miss that. I love you. We're on this journey together. None of us need to feel bad about what we didn't know before today, but now we know a few more things, and it's for us to begin to live in it and walk in the Holy Spirit's power and presence. Let me pray for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you that none of you are a third wheel to the other two. Thank you that you have this beautiful community that you live in. It's really the example for us in our Epic Church community, what it looks like to bring our gifts to the community while also loving what others bring. Thank you that you were there from the beginning. Spirit, thank you for what you did in the time before Jesus. Thank you for what you did during the life of Jesus that empowered his healings and his miracles. And I especially thank you for what you're doing now. I thank you for the promise from Joel that got lived out starting on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on the young and the old, meaning that no kid who belongs to you, Jesus, no teenager, no young adult, they don't get a miniature Holy Spirit. They get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God, you know many of us have missed out for a long time, and we're just going to say now, we don't want to miss out anymore. So Holy Spirit, come teach us the truth about you and help us to experience you. You're welcome in my life. You're welcome in my family. You're welcome in my home. And you're welcome in this church. So collectively, we just say those three words again. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.